So we're doing part two this morning of maintaining our inner compass. And just to recap for those who may not have been here last week, if you were backsliding on Hawaii or somewhere. So we're looking at learning to live from the inside to the outside, learning to move from the spirit through the soul, and developing our persona through our personality. Asking specific questions, who am I, what am I, where am I? And really to enable us to focus on God's nature so that we live in his heartbeat for each of us. And understanding that all revelation is specific to his nature and therefore explicit to our identity. And our response to that is really to practice opening our heart to revelation. Learning to direct ourselves towards God. And when life is difficult, learning to live in the question with him. Sometimes God doesn't give us an immediate answer because he's teaching us how to live in the question and find out who he is. And understanding too that the kingdom always provides an experience for what we believe. And that in our journey of faith, we're actually learning to pass from faith into knowledge of a superior reality, which is the kingdom. That faith leads us to hope, which is based on a mature experience of God. Hope is confident assurance. What you experience when you know who you are. And hope is greater than faith. The Bible says that these three things abide, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is hope. But if that's the greatest, then the one next to it is the second greatest. And faith is the third greatest. So we're actually learning how to move from faith into a confident expectation of who God is for us. So no need to get the CD now. So the second question we're looking at really right now is, what am I? We dealt with who am I last week, what am I? So it's the second question for our inner compass to consider. Because the whole point of having an inner compass is that we're learning how to stay centered on Jesus. And like David, to have our hearts fixed on him. My heart is fixed on you, Lord. Everything about him internally was fixed on the presence of God. And coming, therefore, into agreement with our assignment in terms of what God has called us to. This question, what am I, is designed to promote our persona so that we can develop the destiny that goes with it. It's really important that we free ourselves from the distraction of our personality, particularly learning to deal with the negatives of how we've seen ourselves through God's perception of us. Sometimes our problem is not our circumstances, it's our perception of those circumstances that really is the problem. And sometimes our problem with the nature of God and who he is actually not in relation to who he is, it's in relation to what we feel we are not. Well, God sets us free to become, yeah? So the Holy Spirit all the time is bringing us up and out of a negative perspective on ourselves so that we can walk in the light of how God sees us. So we're focusing always on God's intention. And God's intention is always about fullness. You know, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom in all of its fullness, in all of its abundance. And what we're doing, and we're asking that question, what am I? We're learning how to make choices in line with our persona. We're learning how to walk in agreement with our prophecy, with our vision, and with our calling. And God loves to join his nature to our persona so that he creates an anointing that is greater than the obstacle or the opposition against you. And let me say that in English. God's nature joins with your persona to create an anointing that is greater than the obstacle or the opposition against you. That's where we're headed. Yeah? And he does that in a particular way. He does it by giving you the particular gift of himself in line with who you are becoming. So if he's teaching you how to be a warrior, then he will give himself to you as a warrior. And the coolest thing about that is you get to hear him laugh, because he laughs at his enemies. Yeah? So he gives himself to you in line with your persona. If he's calling you to have a healing ministry, a healing anointing, he gives himself to you as the healer. Yeah, it's a gift of himself. If he's called you to be a prophet, then he gives himself to you as prophet. Yeah? So when we are saying yes to his identity for us, and we're embracing the destiny that comes with it. And then, you know, guys, it's practice, 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 practice. We are practicing that in every single situation we encounter. We're practicing our persona. We're practicing our identity. We're practicing our destiny. We're practicing our alignment. We're practicing all the time. We're using, seeking every opportunity that rises up. We're going to use it in the best possible way. Practice, practice. And we're developing, therefore, a habit of experiencing the anointing for our life and for our calling. A habit is a behavior that you keep repeating. Successful people have successful habits. Unsuccessful people don't. So a habitual behavior is where the Holy Spirit has reprogrammed our hearts and our minds in line with who God is. And so that's what's going on with us right now. We're being reprogrammed. Yeah. So it's great. I mean, Dustin's already well on the way there to being reprogrammed. I say, I'm so confident I'm going to see those wings at some point. You know, it's true. It's a trite saying, but it's true. People don't drift to the top. They climb. You know, we exercise. We expend ourselves. We go for it. And so this whole thing of our own destiny and our own identity, it's really important that you nourish your own spirituality. You feed it. You water it. You keep it in the light. You take time out to explore and expand your relationship with God. When you're asking the question, what am I? What you're doing is you're examining what is my true purpose in this situation. And at some point, you're going to need to make an identity statement about yourself. One of my great friends, Pam Jarvis, is brilliant at this. She's my international prayer coordinator. Does a fabulous job. And I've watched the difference in her just these last 6 months or so, when she's really been living in, creating and living in this identity statement that the Holy Spirit has given her. And just watching her be established in that, watching her grow in confidence in that, what she's doing is she's pulling to herself who she is in Christ. She's not waiting around for it to fall out of the sky and hit her. She's not standing here saying, well, Lord, you know, you show me. She's actually been working with the Holy Spirit, who loves this stuff, loves to tell you who you are. It's a question I'm always asking when I'm on the road, is a what am I question. What am I, if I'm going, whatever I'm going, whatever country, whatever event I'm going to, what am I in this event? What am I in this circumstance? What am I for these people? Because I want to deliberately step into the intentionality of the persona that God has granted me and work with Him. Confidence is the hallmark of a Spirit-filled believer. It's the mark we make in the earth, is we bring the confidence of heaven into the natural world. It's part of who we are. And so I wanted to step into the intentionality of that and then release my expectation of God to the people around me. Now, there have been lots of times when I've gone into situations and it's been death. You walk in there and you feel, this would be a great place to commit suicide. I was just like, no one's trusting the Lord here. This is like unbelief central. And it's like worship to slit your wrist by. Thinking, you know, can they even spell God in this place? I've been in those places. You know, God has to take you into those places so that you get to know who you are. And at those places, you're the one that has to step into that place in concert with the Holy Spirit and change the atmosphere. So what comes out of you has to overcome an atmosphere that's been present for a while. In those places, there have been some events where I'm thinking, thank God I've got 5 sessions at this event because it's going to take me 5 to get there. And after each session, you feel like you've just gone 10 rounds with Mike Tyson in his pre-cannibalistic days. But you have to change the atmosphere using your own inner man of the Spirit. And that's when, and in those places, when all of that is against you, that's when you get to discover the power of what is in you. One person can put 1,000 to flight. Only takes one person. One person walking with God is always in the majority. And you step out onto that platform and you know that you know that you know that you can do this. You can change this whole thing around and completely reorder the atmosphere and create a different environment just by letting loose your own internal agreement with the Holy Spirit and releasing your expectation of God onto those people. And then you just got to stay with it until the breakthrough comes. It may not come in that first meeting. It might not come in the second meeting. But you just have to stay with it because you have a promise on your life and that promise has to be bigger than what you're facing. I think that's why God puts us into situations where the odds are against us, because He wants us to understand the majesty of the promise that's actually on us. It's good to go up against impossible odds. And you get to realize what is possible in little old me. Yahoo. You know, if you want a home run, you got to swing the bat with some real force, yeah? And you get to do that. So I have to ask these questions everywhere I go. What am I? To some people, I could be a wise teacher. I've had that said to me at least 1.5 times, so it might be true. To other people, I'm a prophet. What am I? To some people, I'm a consultant, I'm a strategic thinker. They get me in because they know I think outside the box, no pun intended. To some people, I'm a church builder. And when they come, I have an apostolic hat on my head. To other people, I'm a mentor. To others, I'm a trainer in specific areas of spirituality. To some people, I am a warrior. One of my great friends, James Gore, said to me, "You know what you are to me? You're like an urban mystic." I'm thinking, that's nice. I have no idea what that means. But I'm glad you see it. Thing is, I know that my persona is I want people individually and collectively to break through into another level. What am I? I know who I am. It's my persona. And you have to live with that. And you have to step into it, but you have to practice it, practice it, practice it, practice it. And when you know why you're going to a place, then you step into that place before you get there. Yeah, so on the plane journey or the car drive or whatever it is, I'm often quiet because I'm stepping into a place that I need to kind of like just let it build up in me. Because, you know, if you're going to make a breakthrough, you have to go from the very first minute. You can't, like, warm up for a couple of sessions. You have to go for it right from the start, yeah? Persona. That's where we're heading. That's who we are. It's the life that the Holy Spirit is giving us. So what that means to me is that it's important that you have the highest awareness of God and yourself in him. And being led by the Spirit literally means to me is I am planning to be anointed, powerful, and formidable. Not saying I always achieve it, but it's in my heart. The thing is, inconsistency is a habit also. Bad habits are where you agree to be oppressed by the enemy. Do you like me to say that in English too? Bad habits are where you agree to be oppressed by the enemy. It's the place in your life where you willingly cohabit with stress. And therefore, you become a source of distress to people around you. It's really important that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to a place of rest. Because in a place of rest, you've got a much better chance of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've often found personally it's in that place of silence and stillness where I can get a true sense of direction into God's heartbeat for me. And it's just something, I don't know, delicious. That's a great word in this context. There's something delicious about sitting down in the presence of God and just breathing him in. And all that acceptance and approval and blessing and favor. Because you know God, he's incredibly biased towards us. And all of that kind of like just fills you up. And then with it just comes this real sense of joy and the pleasure of God that he feels in you. And it's important. God gave us emotions so we could feel things like that and not have to imagine it. That we could feel it as a reality. You feel the joy of God in you. You feel his delight in who you are. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says, "May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ." Isn't that a cool scripture? I'm going to read it again. It's good. May the Lord direct
your heart into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. See, that whole inner compass thing, what it's about you getting a direction of the way your heart is going to flow towards God. And as you open yourself up to God, He takes your heart and He directs it straight into His love. It's like the best thing you can do with your day is let God love you. If you let God love you, you'll have no problems loving Him. Yeah? We love Him because He first loved us. Yeah? Direct your hearts into the love of God. And what that does, it enables us to receive a fresh awareness to an invitation that comes from deep inside. We are living from the inside to the outside, yeah? And we get this fresh awareness of that invitation that comes from deep within to enlist in God's perception of you. It's like the Lord every day just wants to say, you know, your problem right now is you're not seeing yourself the way I see you. If you want to get on in this situation, you need to see what I'm seeing. So let me show it to you again. I mean, He loves to show it to you again. In fact, I don't think there's ever going to be a day when He will not want you to see something that He's seeing about you. That's why every one of us is prophetic. Doesn't mean we're all prophets, but it means we all have a perception of how God sees and wants to speak to each one of us. That's a critical part of intimacy, I believe. And then out of that place, you get to make decisions that reflect His indwelling presence. So you start to stand up in that persona. You start to stand up in His personality in you. Because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So He wants freedom for you in all your perceptions. Freedom for you in all your thinking about God and about yourself. Renewal has not occurred until we have an experience of God in the relevant area that God is touching. What's God touching in your life right now? What aspect of His nature is He wanting to reveal to you right now? As He begins to reveal that, you're supposed to have an experience of it, and the experience of it renews you totally in terms of who you are and how you approach the living God. Revelation always provides an encounter. What am I? Third question is, where am I? Who am I is about our identity in Jesus. What am I is about our destiny and purpose. Where am I is where am I in relation to both of those. This is an important thing to understand, beloved. Your identity and your destiny must lead you into conflict with the enemy. The good news is warfare is inevitable. Thank God, because I know a few of you are really worried about that. We come under attack either directly or indirectly. Listen, if you are not a threat to the kingdom of darkness, you've not yet found your true purpose. Yeah? It's good to talk. It's better to fight. Yeah. Just got to make sure you know who you're fighting. Yeah? Jesus didn't come to negotiate with the enemy. He came to destroy him and all his works. Yeah? So in order to operate in authority at a high level, you must learn the discipline of abiding in Jesus and maintaining your alignment in the Spirit. And for that, a lifestyle of rest is vital. Peace is critical. You can't take stock of where you are if you're embracing a negative personality. If you accept anxiety into your life, you are welcoming the uncertainty that comes with it. You may as well open the door of your heart and just, you know, sell tickets to uncertainty. Yeah, you can come in, you can come in. Grace is such an incredible thing. I think we should explore it in a fresh way. Yeah, because my concern right now, I think, well, it's not a big concern, but it's, you know, a little prophetic concern, is that we're moving into uncharted territory and we must deepen and broaden and widen our experience of grace. Yeah? And I don't want grace to ever get stale. I want it to be fresh and wonderful because we're learning how to do new things, and so we're all going to be screw-ups for a while. Yeah, come on, when you learn something to do something new, you learn how not to do it. Is that right? So we're going to screw up for a while, so we need more grace. Yeah? Is that fair? That's cool. So we should be more gracious to one another. We're experimenting, we're practicing, we're learning. We're also unlearning. And I would suggest that there's something we maybe need to unlearn about grace so that we can learn something bigger and deeper and broader about grace. And maybe it's time for us to fall in love with the God of grace all over again at a deeper level. That would be a cool thing for us to do. For me, grace is God's unfailing commitment to love me. Grace is God's unfailing commitment to love me. Love never fails. Yeah. I wonder sometimes, you know, when I look out at a bunch of people, not you guys, because you're all beautiful and wonderful and deeply precious and all of that. But I think there are some people that have an obsessive devotion to low self-esteem and unworthiness. And we should kill those two suckers stone dead. Yeah. You're worthy of salvation. No, honestly. You're worthy of salvation. Well, I'm telling you. You're so worthy of this great life that God wants to give you. You're worth everything to Him. Everything. Because that's the price He paid. You have such incredible worth and value. And, you know, we need to climb out of the cesspit of low self-esteem and unworthiness. And just stand under the shower of God's grace and get clean in the way that we think about ourselves. Yeah? My concern is that we might have an inadequate understanding of grace for where we're going. And it might be good for us. Somebody just say, amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm like really worried right now that you're all thinking, no, we're okay, it's just you, dude. It's true, eh, that when we lose our focus on who God is for us, then we lose our direction and our purpose. And there's only one person that's really advantaged by that. And hopefully he's not here today. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all our ways we must acknowledge God and He'll direct our paths. I think it's time for us to acknowledge God differently. You know, and that's what we're going for as a church. We're going into a deeper experience, a broader encounter with who God is for us. So that's why It's so important that you don't get distracted by what you're not. That you need to start confessing your persona and living in it. And don't be bewildered by your circumstances. Just stay on course with what God is promising you. Let me read you. It's a good passage here in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 4 because I like verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm going to say it, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard. Okay, I'm just having a moment here with the Lord. You all do what you want for a minute. Sheesh. Wow. I'm thinking I'll rip that verse out and put it in my wallet. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anyone know what it's like to have your heart and mind guarded by peace? So that will be an encounter worth having then, eh? Wow. Oh my goodness. That's a place of rest to step into, yeah? You know, talking about this whole direction thing, you know, a compass needle must come to rest before you can determine your direction. And it's in rest that we refuse the negatives, and therefore we can contend for our choice of direction. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. You get to control your propensity to be worried, anxious, fearful. I know, it's a great thought, eh? Thanks for saying it. I can hear all the silent yahoo. Never realized that before. Think about this journey is, the journey is never explained, only the destination. So Mark chapter 4, you know, Jesus never explained about the storm. He just said, let's get in a boat and go to the other side. He never said, oh, and by the way, it's going to get windy. And you're going to throw up your lunch, and you're going to look daggers at me because I'll be snoring, and you'll be worrying. Never said anything about the storm whatsoever. Just explained about the destination. The thing about God is if he tells you a destination, he is totally committed to getting you there. And that's the thing we fix on. You said I'm going there, therefore I'm going there. So now I'm going to align with you so I can get there actually in time with you and not afterwards. Thing is, if the process were known at the beginning, we would never learn how to cling on to Jesus. We'd never learn how to develop sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And one of the prime reasons that I've discovered where God doesn't tell me what the process looks like is because he's teaching me sensitivity. How to cling on to the word, how to hold on to his hand, how to walk with him day by day, how to pray in line with the promise I have, you know, so that I don't just pray about the circumstances. I pray in line with the promise that's going to take me through them. Yeah? That's why that whole prayer with supplication and thanksgiving. What are we giving thanks for? Not the circumstances. Giving thanks that I've got a destination. Giving thanks that God has already told me we're going to get to the other side. Yeah, I might lose a couple of pounds, you know, because I've thrown up all my lunch. But, so I'll get there a little slightly thinner. That's not bad. But I'll get there because I have a promise that, you know, there you go. The circumstances will always challenge your persona. So don't expect your circumstances to line up ahead of your spirit. Sometimes, this is what I've discovered. My circumstances are challenging my persona and they're challenging my promise. And it's as I step out in my persona, holding on to the promise, I change my circumstances. If I'm stepping out into the circumstances, just praying about my circumstances, they stay the same. Because it's your persona that takes you through. You get that bit, right? Yeah? When you step into who you really are, you change the events, your circumstances are going to have to line up with the word that's coming out of your spirit. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so when we confess that word, our circumstances are then going to have to line up with a superior reality. That is the kingdom. That's the life that God is committing us to. And what Jesus wanted the guys to realize is, yeah, you can just survive this situation and you'll get to the other side. But when the wind and the waves come, I want you to have authority over them. I want what comes out of your spirit to be spoken out in such a way that the circumstances of the wind and the waves line up with what comes out of your spirit. And then he gave them a personal demonstration of what that looks like. Better watch it, getting passionate. It is your alignment with God that challenges your circumstances to come into agreement with your persona. God, I can't wait for the day when we get there as a community. Because then we're going to open something in the heavens over this whole region. I swear to God. We're going to open something. We're going to create an open heaven by the agreement of the corporate man and how we choose to stand and live and speak and declare. One voice, one heart, one spirit. One mind, corporate man, open heaven. So maybe we might want to think about exploring that in the days to come, eh? Until then, you know, we need to endure the contradiction that's against us. Don't be put off by the contradiction. When my circumstances are different to my word. Of course they are. But only to start with. And you've got to endure the contradiction because there is a specific attitude we must develop in order to overcome the uncertainty of our circumstances. That's why our best attitudes are always rooted in rejoicing and praise and giving thanks. That's why I'm glad David did what he did this morning. I don't want to live a moment without worship because it's so important to us. You must take ground in your personal praise, in your personal rejoicing. It's critical for your development. It's not an option. It's a necessity. Praise is occasionally a sacrifice. Well, make it. Because by doing so, we are responding in a way that provokes the anointing and attracts abundance. so important that we're not in two minds about abundance. You know, that we don't go to our circumstances for evidence of whether we are abundant or not. You go to your giving. That's the evidence of your abundance. What are you giving? That's why I want to challenge every one of us about money. If you want more, give some away. Do you want me to say that in English? If you want more, give some away. The evidence of your abundance is in your generosity. And if you give, you're always going to receive. You just want to get in the place where you are receiving, pressed down, shaken together, and running over and thinking, oh my God, I got too much, I need to give this away. There are miracles in that whole realm, I believe. But you won't experience them if you're fearful about the process. If you're not giving correctly, and you know it, I'm not here to convict you, but the Holy Spirit is here to convince you that there is a better lifestyle for you. And the reason He wants you to give is so that you can participate in abundance and you can kill the worry about the economy. You can kill your anxiety about finances stone dead. Rejoicing. When you do it, you are responding in a way that provokes the anointing and attracts abundance. Yeah? And we learn how to stay in the place of favor. I don't want you to, would you stop visiting favor? Yeah? And it doesn't want to visit you. It wants a place in your home. Yeah? Tidy out a closet or something. Stick it in there. Have a bedroom. Whatever. You need favor to come and stay. And so the answer to the question, where am I? The answer is abiding in Christ. That's where I am. I'm learning to stay, to dwell, and remain. I'm learning to persist. I think we travel faster and better when we abide in who Jesus is for us. Let me read another scripture. John 15, verse 7 says this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. I'm going to tear that one out and put it in my wallet as well. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you in exactly the same way. Abide in my love. See, abiding opens the door to continuous encounters with God. And the proof of abiding is continuous favor. So we're not hit and miss in our requests. We ask and we keep on asking. We persist until we receive. You don't ask once or twice. If it's worth asking once, it's worth asking for 100 times. You just got to make the other 99 times fun. I mean, it's a conversation for God's sake. What else are you going to say? Better to have the same conversation, the same request that's positive, that has an expectation of the goodness of God, than to downgrade it into something less. So if you're going to pray, pray at the same level. I think persistence is praying the same thing in the same way 75 times. And the 75th time you pray, you're praying it with the same passion and the same intensity that you did at the very first time. That's prayer. There's only one prayer to pray, and I'm flipping praying it. And I'm praying it with all my heart every single time. Why? Because God is wholehearted. That's why when he invites you to seek him, he says, seek me with your whole heart. Because if you do that, you'll be like me, wholehearted. We should never be half-hearted when we come to pray. You find out what God wants to do, and you ask him to do it 100 times if you need to. Just make it fun. Make it a pleasure. Do not make it a chore. Make it a delight. It's fun to come and ask and keep on asking. It's fun to come and knock and keep on knocking. It's fun to seek and keep on seeking, because every time you keep seeking, you see a little more and a little more and a little more and a little more. And revelation builds up through persistence. Yeah? Plus, you know one thing that God's useless at? He can't deny himself. It's like everything in him is going to move in your direction when you move in his. That's the truth of it. So abiding provides the momentum to move in the opposite spirit to what is against us. And it's good to have things against us, because we get to check out the power and the substance of our inner man. We get to measure ourselves up against the giant that's in front of us. It's good to have opposition. It's good to have something to contend against. Yeah? Because you get to discover things about God and discover things about yourself. You get to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which was Jehoshaphat's way of abiding. Yeah? You get to stand firm in something. This is a good place. I have a good confession. Got a good perspective. Got my promise. I'm stoked. I'm staying here. Yeah? And I'm not moving back from this place. I'm actually going to move forward and take this place with me. Because as I move forward, my place opens up. It's like when you stand there, you're standing in maybe a 2 foot square, say. You're standing in, you know, but as you move forward in it, suddenly it's a 3 foot square. Then it's a 6 foot. Then it's a 12 foot. And your encounter and your place grows by the momentum. And as you press in and as you move forward, this space around you gets bigger. That's why momentum's important. But initially, you need to stand firm against the assault so that you can gather yourself and think, okay, I've got everything here. I've got my perspective, got my persona, got my confession, got my promise. I'm ready. Yahoo, here I come. Ready or not. And when that pressing forward, that pressing into who Jesus is, your space opens up. And you find that other people come and stand in your space. And then the space increases because they're there. You see, your friends come and stand in your space. And your group, your tribe comes and stands in your space. And then the church comes and stands. And it exponentially increases. I think that's true. I don't care what you think. And I say that in the sweetest possible way. And we learn how to make a way in the dark because the Lord is a lamp for our feet. Yeah? So it's important that we stay the course in our present situation. You know, we don't have to persist for life. We just get to persist for now. And now is always the accepted time. In what God is saying to me, I am persisting in this thing until I get this breakthrough. I'm staying here. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I am persisting with this thing. I want to press it out to its most positive extreme. And I think we're learning to make sure that we're captured by God's heart for us. I would love to see you captured by God's heart for you in a different way. I'd love to see us all captivated even more. Where am I? I'm abiding in God's heart for me. I'm dwelling and I'm remaining in the place that He's set aside for me. So when we ask the question, where am I? It's in order to confirm our favor and check ourselves out. Check yourself out this morning. How much of that favor, how much of that promise are you really enjoying? Are you really deliberately, intentionally stepping into? Are we really asking for the appropriate things? And are we actually in a place to receive them? Am I abiding in His love? Where am I in relation to His abundance and my inheritance? That's a good question right there. Where am I in relation to His abundance and my inheritance? Am I in a place to receive the appropriate weapons of warfare for the situation I'm experiencing? Asking the question, where am I, leads us into a place of encounter. So our inner compass must lead us into a fresh experience of God, literally an encounter with all that He is for us. We are entering into a phase in our history as a church of deliberateness. We're learning how to be very deliberate, very specific, and very intentional. And so it's an end to being casual. That's what's being destroyed in our midst, is our casual approach to spirituality. And we're learning to be deliberate and intentional and profound. Your inner compass enables you to know the direction for your life. Three great questions that provide focus and that empower us to continue moving forward. And they enable us to continue a dialogue with the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. So your inner compass enables you to develop and maintain momentum, and that's what's picking up right now around us. That whole quickening spirit. Who am I? Your identity in Jesus is what that's about. Discovering God's nature and how to direct your heart in response. What am I? Allows you to step into the intentionality of your persona and release your expectation of God to people around you. And where am I? In relation, where am I in relation to the battle and the conflict between two kingdoms? Where is my place of abiding and alignment? These questions enable us to develop priorities. I think that's one of the things the Holy Spirit has been gradually showing us for months now. Priorities. So, Selah moment. Pause and calmly think of that. What is your present place of encounter with the Father? We must live intentionally with God or we don't live. What's your identity? What's God's nature for you right now? Maybe you're just in the question, you know, who am I? That I invite you to think about. What is your identity? What is the nature of God towards you right now? Some of you have got that button down and weighed off, and I know what that is. And maybe you're in the question of, who am I? What am I? What am I? And you're thinking about your calling and your destiny and your persona. It's time to step into something. And maybe you've worked those two things out and you're thinking, you know, I have a real pressing need to fight something. I want to live in the clash between two kingdoms. And maybe right now you're working out that I need to have a greater discipline of abiding and alignment. Well, whatever that is, why don't you come out in those things and just present yourself to the Lord, and we're going to pray. What question are you in? If you haven't sorted the first question out, that's the one to come out with. If you know who you are in Jesus and you know what your identity is, then you're checking out your persona right now. I want to develop. I want to know my call, my vision. I want to develop in that. If you've been working on that, then maybe right now it's about coming into a broader place of encounter. And specifically, you know, I want you to think in terms of a need for you to come into a broader understanding and experience of grace. That would be cool. Whatever your question is, there's a better grace experience for you to receive. So, you just be asking the Holy Spirit your question. And this is the promise. Ask and keep on asking, and it will be given. Seek and keep on seeking, you'll definitely find it. Knock and keep on knocking, and something will open up to you that will astonish you. Persistence. Your question. What is your question right now before the Lord? This is such, I know we keep saying it, and we're going to keep saying it until we're all on the same page here. This is such a brilliant time for us as a community. It's a great opportunity. One heart. One voice, one spirit, one mind. This is a great opportunity for us. And so it's worthy of our persistence. It's okay? Got your question in your heart? Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit? And I'll pray for grace. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you're resetting the inner compass of our heart towards you. Thank you, Father, that you're getting us to ask three great questions because you have specific answers and anointings and gifts to bestow upon each of us. This is our time. This is our moment for many of us. This is why we've come here. We've come here to discover who you are and who we really are in ourselves. And we're not stepping back from that. We're not running away from that. Because there's nowhere else to go. It's like the disciples said, well, where else can we go? You've got the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else for us to go. That's how I feel right now. This is my time. This is my place. This is where I get to make a stand. I get to inherit. I get to see and taste the power of the age to come. I get to step into something magnificent. I'm not stepping back from that. I'm stepping into it. So, Father, I ask for grace, that great grace would be upon us all in these days, that great grace would be upon us all in these days, that you would give us grace to explore and to discover, grace to perceive and grace to receive, and grace to change our inner direction. The grace, Lord, to step into something bigger than who we are and have our personality adjust to that place of revelation and encounter. And I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus. See, he's so quick. He's already on the phone. Quick. Come on, guys. I'm with you. I'm right here. Nah, I'm telling you, that's prophetic. We're in this season of acceleration. You've got to expect something to happen quick. And check that number. If it says heaven, can I have it? Got a couple of calls to make myself. We're in this season of acceleration. I believe with all my heart that God is passionate about this place he's seeking to bring us into. Passionate. And I do believe that there is a divine acceleration upon us. There is a quickening spirit abroad in this place. And things will happen quickly. We just need to make sure, our part is to make sure they happen properly. Yeah? That we don't go for speed at the expense of substance. You make sure it happens properly, he'll be the one that quickens you. Yeah? But don't travel, don't let your aim be to get there quickly. Let your aim be to get there properly. Yeah? And he'll speed up the journey. That's his deal. Your deal is to travel well. His deal will be to make you travel quickly. Yeah? So, Father, I just pray for great grace to be upon us all. I ask for an anointing upon this community, Lord, that enables us to engage with you at a higher and a deeper level. And Lord, as we ask these questions of you, I ask in the name of Jesus that each one of us will enter into a dialogue with the Holy Spirit so amazing that we could fill a journal just for the conversation. But I ask that you'll write words on our heart that really become who we are in terms of identity. And so, Father, I ask you to breathe upon us in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to brood over us, just like you did over the earth at creation. Yes. That you brood over us. You incubate us. That something grows in us that's in line with who you are and your own passionate intensity. I ask it for Jesus' sake, Father. Help us to set the direction that as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. We're setting the direction in that way. I'm going that way with God. And I'm going to travel properly, and I'm hoping to travel quickly into this place that God has set aside. And Father, I ask for a revelation of the outcome, that we know what is set aside. We know what the stakes are that we're moving towards. We know what the outcome is. And irrespective of the process, we know the outcome is guaranteed, and so we are going to travel with confidence. I've got a word. I'm going to make it. I've got a word from the Lord. I'm going to get there. Don't know how. Don't know how fast. Just know I'm going. Got my ticket. I'm on the bus. So, Father, I ask for great grace. I ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to be upon us. And a real sense and acknowledgement that this is my time. This is my time, and I will not be robbed of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you hug someone's neck and say, it's your time. Don't let yourself be robbed.